This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome to the National Signing Day edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. Today is, as I said, early signing day for college football, and we have so much to cover with you here today. We're going to look at who has signed with the Kansas Jayhawks. We're going to talk about some major commitments that happened just this week, and we're going to discuss just how crazy recruiting is likely to continue to be over the next several months. We've got several big-time guests lined up, people that you're going to be very excited to hear from, some of the newest Kansas Jayhawks. We're going to be joined by quarterback signee Ethan Vasco from Virginia. We're also going to hear from Central Florida transfer Eric Gilliard. But before we get into that, it's time to welcome the dean of Kansas football reporters, the man that's been on the Kansas football beat longer than anybody, publisher of Jayhawk Slant, and my good buddy, Mr. John Kirby. John, have you managed to avoid spilling that extra strong coffee today with these 80-mile-per-hour winds blowing around?
I'll tell you, I was driving back home from Lawrence, and man, the wind was pushing people on the highways, and there's this truck, and I was trying to get by it, and it was literally swerving over into my lane.
So, oh, wow.
I'm like hitting the gas. I'm driving up on the shoulder to avoid this truck. And, you know, a poor guy you could see in the rearview mirror, he's trying to steer back, you know, because the wind had pushed him over. And I was like, golly, man, that's when I wish I had a Porsche.
Oh, no doubt. Now, were you on 70?
I was on 10.
See, and 10 is like, it is, in my opinion, it's worse when it comes to the wind between here and Lawrence. There's nowhere to hide, and you get pushed all over that road. So I know how you feel coming back from work, driving across town. I couldn't believe it going through, you know, hitting north on I-35 through downtown and throughout south and everything where my office is. It was relentless, and the lightning was just crazy. It was funny. I stopped at Quick Trip, and there was I'm not going to name the school, but there was actually an assistant football coach from one of the local smaller colleges in the area who's obviously out and about trying to continue to recruit, because obviously the Division II and NAIA programs, you know,
their work is really just kind of firing
up.
Right.
And so he was inside Quick Trip because he couldn't talk on his phone while he was on the road because he was getting blown off the road. And it was funny. He was really, really frazzled. And all I could hear was him telling me, he was just like, "Coach, his mom wants to talk to a professor and I don't know what to tell him." And I just kind of laughed as I got my iced tea. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that guy never thought that somebody that understands recruiting is standing here listening to him. But that's exactly what happened.
Well, I saw there's power outages throughout the city. I saw in some areas. I know when you and I were talking earlier, just the wind, you know, interrupted some of your signal.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Living here, I live over by the Kansas City Museum. For people that know, it's not far from Cliff Drive in the old Northeast. And so we deal with this all the time. Typically in the spring, when the winds are high, everybody in our neighborhood, our high-speed internet gets kind of iffy. So I could be just moments away from literally getting blown off the pod right now. So we better hurry up and get into this because we have a lot of stuff to cover, Kirby.
Let's go.
Let's start off with the players who signed and were announced by the Jayhawks today. I'm just going to give you the floor, and you tell us, just run down the list, tell us what you got in every one of the newest Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, you know, hey, I'll start with Joey Baker. Joey's been one of my favorite guys to talk to. He is all business. I mean, I love talking to the guy. I mean, there is – I remember I was talking to him, and I said, hey, you guys got a big game against Allen this week, because they – I think it was two games ago they played Allen and beat up on him pretty bad. And I go,
yes,
big game.
Did.
And he goes, yep. And that was it. He just stopped. He goes, yep. I mean, he's like all business. But, you know, listen, Joey Baker, was the starting left tackle for the last 2 years at Southlake Carroll High School. That is one of the, you know, they hovered around 10 to 15, top 10 to 15 in the nation. They just got knocked out by Duncanville. But, you know, he's a loyal guy. He stayed loyal to Scott Fuchs. He really enjoyed his visits to Kansas. And listen, Joey Baker, if he was this guy, he's not big on Twitter. He's not big on the internet. He's kind of a throwback guy. But, you know, if he really wanted to get into this recruiting and get his name out there and be that kind of guy, he could have had more offers. Everybody's watching him on film. So, you know, he's a good get. You know, could be a guard, could be a center, possibly down the road. I'll move to Mason Ellis out of Mulvane. You know, and Mason's made it clear he's going to gray shirt. Again, sometimes we get our favorites in what we do, Randy. You've done this for a long time. You've covered football. Mason Ellis has kind of been one of my favorites. And number one is, I think you can win with guys like Mason Ellis, okay? He is the type of guy, I mean, I watched him go sub 4.5 two different times at KU's camp. The kid's a winner. He's a competitor. He is, I tell you, you know, he's even told me, hey, I think I could play corner. Now, I don't know if that would be interesting to see, but there is no doubt he can play safety, and he has all the tools. He's got the speed. He's got the size. He played quarterback in high school, but obviously he'll be a defensive player. Moving on to, let's go to Tavita Noah, a tight end out of Snow College. He was originally committed to TCU. And, you know, Randy, this is he could be an important role, and I'm not knocking the tight ends, but the tight ends this year struggled blocking. Okay, and offensive coordinator Andy Kotelnicki, he coaches the tight ends. He knows it. So he went out and got Noah, who isn't just a blocker. He can catch passes too. But he is the type of guy that is physical. And when they get to run in that wide zone, they've got to get blocking on the perimeter. And if the guys are there that are struggling with blocking, for that wide zone to work, you've got to be able to do it. So Tavita Noah is a big pickup. I'm going to go back to offensive line. James Livingston, who is from, he always jokes, it's a small town in Michigan called Dexter, Michigan. But this kid is not
literally the biggest thing in that small town. Six foot seven.
He is 6'7", 280. But Randy, he is not a stiff now. He is athletic. He's got good feet. He's got long arms. I think in one game this year, he said he had like 11 pancakes. He was just voted pretty much every all-league, all-county, first-team all-state you can be. And again, he's one of these guys where if Kansas fans trust Scott Fuchs, which to this point, I think everybody does. After they've seen what the offensive line does, everybody liked him coming in, what they had heard about him. But now when you see what the offensive line did and how much they improved, you know he knows what he's doing. So this is one of those situations where Fuchs liked him at Buffalo and he goes forward with him at Kansas. So you just put your trust in a coach that they've done their evaluations, okay? And okay, which then takes me a great lead in to Ethan Vasco. So when you talk about evaluations and you talk about trusting a coach, this was Jim Zabrowski, the quarterback coach at KU. This was his top guy on the board. I've been told this all along. Like, he offered him at Buffalo, and when he got to Kansas, he started following Ethan Vasco. This summer,
so his recruitment and evaluation, literally, I mean, it's gone on for years and over the course of really two different schools is what you're saying.
Well, so, Randy, it went over two different schools, and then it's gone on even past that because Zabrowski was down at the Florida State camp. They had a mega camp down there. Vasco goes down there. He runs sub 4.6 down there. He's throwing the ball all over the place. This kid is 6'3", 205, okay? He just took his high school, Oscar Smith, to three straight large class Virginia State championships. They won the last two. The kid's throwing for 9,000 yards, over 140 touchdowns. This kid is not a joke, right? This kid is not someone who you say, well, I kind of see it. This kid's, you put his film on and you go, oh no, I see it. Like, there's no,
okay,
go ahead.
Then let me ask you what everybody else is going, is some people have even started on the message board, and I want to know too, how did this kid, how does he not have more offers? How is he not how did he get away from the likes of West Virginia or Virginia Tech or any of the programs out east? I mean, what's the story, John?
Well, Virginia Tech offered him. Okay. So in his junior year, they offered, but they ended up getting other guys and they never came back to him. Okay. I mean, South Florida offered this summer. I mean, he had some guys that were on him. So it's not like he was just a 100% unknown. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to his coach and he said they've had quarterbacks go to Vanderbilt. They've had quarterbacks go to Maryland. And he said, this kid is every bit as good or better than those guys. So, hey, Zebrowski, I think he found him one. Because when I'm watching the film, the first thing I'm seeing, I'm starting to rewind things. I'm going, okay, wow, he just ran past, you know, a couple outside linebackers and a couple defensive backs. And then I'm going, okay, he just put a ball in a tight window there. And then he threw one across the hash. And I'm going, okay, what's the catch here? Like, okay, I mean, what's going on here? Kids like this don't fall through the cracks. But, you know, you asked me, Randy, why weren't there more offers? Well, here's what I ask people. Why didn't Todd Reesing have more offers?
True. Okay.
Why didn't Bill Whittemore have more offers? Okay. So the fact of the matter is there are kids who've slipped through the cracks. And the thing to remember with him, this isn't like Zebrowski just got on him 2 weeks ago. He has been on this kid and known about him for a long time. So, you know, I think that says a lot. And then I'll close it out. I know we got a lot to go over, I'm sure. But I'll close it out with Caleb Purdy, who has been, you know, one of the longest commitments on the board. Caleb Purdy's one of the a guy in Rivals told me that he had talked to several college coaches, and their comment was, if Caleb Purdy was 2 inches taller, he'd have offers from about anybody. Well,
true.
Listen, he had early offers from like Michigan, Kansas State, Iowa State. So it's not like college coaches didn't know about him. He was the defensive player of the year in his conference. And you know what? This is what I've always said. And we always go back to the Mangino stuff. Okay. Mangino always used to take guys who were 2 inches too short and 10 pounds too light, right? Because
true.
College coaches, what do they always say? Oh, man, I really love my DNs to be 6'4", 235. Okay, well, they look at a kid, they see a 6'3", 225, and they pass on him. Okay, well, that was Dorrance Armstrong for a lot of people, right, who's playing in the NFL right now. So a lot of times when you're Kansas, you've got to take the kid who's 2 inches too short. He's not 6'1", he's 5'10", all right? And if that makes a difference playing safety, then so be it. But I think Kansas got a really good football player with Caleb Purdy.
Now, since we mentioned, you know, one of the names, the most intriguing one for me, we talked about Ethan Fasco, the quarterback in this class. I'm going to turn it over to John, where he's heading over to the studio line. The newest Kansas quarterback, Mr. Ethan Fasco, joins us now and is going to talk about signing with the Kansas Jayhawks and his relationship with quarterback coach Jim Zebrowski.
Our first guest is Ethan Fasco, who just signed his letter of intent this morning, a record-setting quarterback from Oscar Smith High School in Virginia. Ethan, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Talk about the day. Was it pretty crazy? What was it like for you? I know you guys had your ceremony.
Yeah, no, it was an awesome day. Definitely waking up this morning at 7 to sign that to sign the scholarship. It was a great feeling, and definitely super excited to get to work. And super excited to become a Jayhawk. It was an awesome day. Just got done with the signing. We had anyone could come, and there was a good amount of people there. It was an awesome day.
All right, so I want to go back over the last week for you. This has been probably a crazy week. You win a state title, your second straight state title. You've got the change in the recruiting. You end up becoming a Jayhawk. Just kind of take me through everything that's happened in the last week.
Yeah, so I think when it became became official that I could commit to you guys was Friday, the day before the state championship. And once that happened, me and my family, we kind of did some thought. And then we had the state championship on Saturday, won that. And then I think by Sunday, we kind of made the decision. So then Sunday, I ended up decommitting from Old Dominion. And then Monday, I announced the news that I was committing to Kansas, and then obviously now I'm already signed. So it's been a crazy week, but it's definitely an exciting one.
All right. So I think a lot of people, you know, don't really know, you know, this happened so fast, But you've got a longstanding relationship with Coach Zabrowski. You've known him. Just talk about how he stayed in touch, and then how he offered you at Buffalo, and how long you've known him, and then you kind of got everything rekindled when he saw you at the Florida State camp.
Yeah, so we've probably known each other now for maybe even close to 2 years, maybe even over 2 years. So they offered me at Buffalo. That was one of my early offers, and we talked then. We kind of had a relationship, and then they made the move to Kansas. We still had the relationship, and then they saw me at that Florida State camp. I'm not even sure if it was a month after they got the job at Kansas. So then we kept in contact after that, and I think most of the time when we talked, it wasn't even about recruiting or anything. It was just me and him talking, just having a relationship, and talking about football, talking about how like everything's been going. So we had we built a really strong relationship, and he just kept that going. We talked almost every week, and we always texted, talked on the phone once a week usually. And then Friday he gave me a call. We had been in contact obviously the whole time, and then he gave me the call and gave me the good news. So it's definitely came a long way, and he kept the relationship going the whole time. And then obviously I was watching Kansas football and became a fan, so I was ready to go.
All right, so in 3 years you threw for over 9,000 yards, over 140 touchdowns. I want you to, for the listeners, break down your game. If you had to describe yourself as a quarterback, what you do well, maybe something you'd like to improve, and just what you bring to the table as a quarterback, describe yourself.
Yeah, what I bring to the game is just someone who can make any play on the field. I can make any throw on the field, and then also being able to make a play with my feet. I ran a 4 that camp that I saw Coach Z at. I actually ran a 4.5 40. So I can make plays on my feet, make any throw on the field, and then on the run, anything outside of the pocket, and just a playmaker and a competitor who never wants to lose, and someone who will always compete and give my best effort every single game. And I think that goes a long way for my game. And then also just always working, always trying to get better. If there was one thing I would say I had to get better at, it would just be footwork in the pocket. I think I have pretty good pocket movements, but maybe taking away some steps, that maybe I add some extra steps in certain scenarios. But I think my game is really just a playmaker who can make any play and extend plays also.
All right, so you've known Coach Z for a long time. Your high school career ends with a state championship. Now you sign. Just how does it feel to have all this wrapped up, have your future home where you know you're going? You know, what's going through your mind today?
Oh, it feels great. I mean, it's a great feeling seeing everyone there today. And it just you kind of have time to think about it and just realize how awesome everything has been. Realizing that you just won a second state championship, and that you're able to play Division I football at a high level. And it's just a great feeling. And I finally have time to think about it and just realize how awesome it is.
Okay, you haven't been to Lawrence yet. So when do you plan to take your official visit?
January 14th.
Okay, you're going to come in, or you're going to come in and get it done right away, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, Ethan, listen, man, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on signing with the Jayhawks today. And I guarantee you this won't be the last time that we talk to you.
Awesome. Yes, sir. Thank you.
JK, those were the players who signed, and a lot of news has come in the last few days with the commitments from several individuals that are in the transfer portal. We can go over all that because I know there are several guys potentially. Well, actually, I don't even know if it's potential. Several guys that are going to have a significant impact on this program as we head towards the 2022 season. Let's go through. I'm going to run through the list with you, and I want you to give me a little bit of information on each one, okay?
You got it.
We're going to start with the guy who everybody wants to know how to say his name, Nolan Gorsica, the offensive lineman from Buffalo. Tell us about him.
Hey, you did it right. That is how you pronounce his last name. So
I am proud of myself.
I'm going to have a story on Nolan. I wanted to have something today, but you know how signing day goes. All of a sudden, you're tracking it down to make sure everybody signs, and then you're going up. You cover the press conference. You come back. You cut up video. So I wanted to have something on Nolan. Had a long talk with him yesterday. Great kid, man. He's got some personality. You know, I talked to Sean Callahan from our Nebraska site, and Sean covered him in the Shrine Bowl up in Nebraska. And he said he was talking to some coaches, and the coaches of the Shrine Bowl, not last year, the year before, said, we always see a kid who's under-recruited, undervalued, that we say, this kid's got a chance to play on Sundays. Well, that Shrine Bowl staff said Nolan Gorsica is that guy. They think he's got a chance to play. He's 6'6", 300 pounds. I talked to him. Man, this kid is happy to be going to KU. It's back closer to his home. He said, you know, I'm a Midwest guy. I mean, he said that a couple different times. So, you know, Scott Fuchs knew him, really liked him. You know, Leipold and Fuchs and Taiwo, the new defensive line coach at Kansas, they all have contacts in the state of Nebraska, so they knew about him.
That's an interesting one, and you love the story. The fact that he's getting an opportunity to come back to the Midwest, it's amazing how sometimes these guys' journeys wind the way they do, and to see him go clear to Buffalo and now loop back to Lawrence, Kansas, just a few hours away from where he grew up, that's it's really, really cool. Next up, we have Craig Young. Tell us about Craig.
Yeah, might be of everybody who eventually comes on campus, might be the guy with the fastest impact. You know, I mean, against Michigan State, you know, I saw the head coach from Ohio State. Somebody sent me some quotes that talked about he was going to play a much bigger role against Michigan State in their last home game because they needed him. At Ohio State, they call it the bullet. And so he also played some safety. But at KU, I think he's going to be that hybrid, what they call the hawk. But, you know, I heard some stories when Craig Young pulled into Lawrence and, you know, he walks in the complex. People are like, oh, my. Like, okay, that's what a dude from Ohio State looks like when he walks in the door, right? 6'4", 228, you know, ran 10.7 in high school. So whoa. Craig Young is a guy that can make a difference. I mean, Craig Young, Randy, if you're on the field and you're playing, and you play in all 12 games at Ohio State, okay, when you come to KU, you are going to be more talented than a lot of guys on the field. I am not knocking anybody on KU's roster. I'm just stating a fact. So, exactly. You know, he talked about being really impressed with Simpson, the linebackers coach. He's got a young daughter. Her name's Cody. You know, he just felt that Lawrence gave him the best place to succeed. So I'm telling you, Craig Young is a big time pickup. This kid can play.
Another transfer and another Big Ten guy, former Nebraska running back Sevion Morrison.
Yeah, Sevion's going to be an interesting one. You know, he told me he's good friends with Deuce and Kyle Mayberry. Okay. So he relied on them to say, you know, what have you seen?
Well, they're here? All Oklahoma guys.
They're all buddies from Oklahoma. And you know what I thought was pretty cool? Kyle Mayberry moved on, went to Utah State, right? He left the program, but he's saying good things about KU. He's telling Sevion there's good things in the program, and Deuce is telling him the same thing. And he relied on those guys. You know, he had an in-home visit with Leipold and Jonathan Wallace. Now, Sevion Morrison, okay, he was a four-star kid coming out of Oklahoma. He had a bunch of offers. He is a big kid, but let me tell you something. He is not the kind of kid that everybody thinks is just kind of your power back. I mean, he's 6'1", 210. And you know, he told me, he said, hey, I can make multiple cuts. I'm just not a big physical back. So he is going to be somebody. Randy, listen, we got to the end of the season, all right? And I mean, in the last game, KU, they almost can't even put a scholarship running back on the field. So if anybody doesn't think, you know, Hyshaw's coming off a season-ending injury. You don't know how he's going to be. Kansas needed a running back. I mean, they yes. needed one in a bad way. So this guy, I think Sevion Morrison is going to help out a lot. And even if he can complement Devin Neal, you know, I don't know that Devin Neal is a 30-35 carry a game guy. I don't know that many running backs are anymore. And listen, Devin got banged up there, and you know, you want to keep him healthy. And so if they can get Devin to where his touches are the right amount, and somebody like a Morrison can provide some depth and competition to go in there and take some carries, then they got a good guy there.
Tell us about Kalen Gervin.
Yeah, interesting one. I still can't piece together what happened, but I think he liked KU from the beginning, okay? And then he ended up committing to Wisconsin, And then KU came back on him. And I do think this was interesting. They came back on him after Chevis Jackson left. Okay? So when they came back on him, that's when they turned him. Again, he had a good visit. You know, this is a kid that started in probably half the games he played at Michigan State. And I go back to Craig Young, okay? And, I want to be careful because I don't mean I am not knocking players in the Kansas program. I'm not knocking the Kansas program. But when you take a kid who started a lot of games at Michigan State in Big Ten football competition, Randy, the kid can play football, okay? Again, Chris Simpson, linebackers coach, very strong in Detroit, very strong in Michigan. He had a lot of contacts. Gervin told me Rich Miller, Cornell Wheeler, he grew up with those guys. He played Little League football with them. So, you know, again, this is connections too. So I think it should also give Kansas fans some hope for the future, knowing that their coaches, they are connected. They've got connections. And, you know, we're going to see this down the road. You're seeing it more in the portal now because we kind of knew from the beginning the portal was going to be an emphasis going into this year.
All right. We've almost gotten to the end of the list here, but we've got a big one to finish out with. Eric Gilliard, a name that a lot of people have been talking about on the message boards for a while now.
Yeah, Eric Gilliard, he is, man, he's been fun to talk to. Another guy, when you talk to him, you can just tell he means business. I mean, he's got some of that seriousness to him. One of the things I really liked about him, I talked to him about academics, and I said, hey, you know, you're a three-time all AAC academic guy. And he's like, man, I take academics serious. He said it starts with his parents, starts at home. But I just thought that was cool. I think that shows some character. And I want to go back and tell you this, Randy. I've talked to all these guys, and these guys all come across as high character kids. And I think that's one thing that Lance Leipold is doing to help build his culture. And I think he's probably building it a little quicker with the attitudes and the people who will buy in. But, you know, Gilliard is that throwback middle linebacker guy. I mean, he's going to put his head down now, and you're going to know he hit you. Now, do you want him out in a lateral side-to-side foot race with somebody? I don't know if that's his game. But, man, if you've got to put a guy and meet somebody in the A-gap and take somebody down on third and two, I want Eric Gilliard on my team. I want him on the field. You know, 200 tackles in his time at Central Florida. And the thing, Randy, that a lot of these guys that they're bringing in that's different from any other recruit, they've watched the game film of them playing Division I football, and they know
exactly
what they know what they can bring. And that is a huge difference when you go into an unknown. When you're watching a junior college kid, you can see the talent, but they're still playing junior college football. When you're watching high school kids, you have no idea how those guys are going to project. When you're watching Eric Gilliard, you can put his film on against, you know, whoever they played in the non-conference. You can put him on against SMU. You can put him on against Houston. You can put him on against Cincinnati. You can watch what those kids do against legit football programs, and you can see it. And they always say the film doesn't lie. Well, when you watch Eric Gilliard putting his head down and taking down ball carriers against quality opponents, that film doesn't lie.
You've been talking a lot about Eric Gilliard, and he is a guy that you can hear it in your voice just how excited you are about the potential impact he could make on this defense. Let's hear from the man right now. One of the newest Kansas Jayhawks transferring in from Central Florida. Kirby's got him over on the studio line right now.
We are joined by Eric Gilliard, who is one of the newest commits to the Kansas class. Eric, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Well, you got to break it down for everybody. Tell everybody why you chose the Jayhawks.
I'm just in love with what Coach Lapo was doing, and you know how he's changing the culture there. I really feel like it's going to be something special, and you know we got a chance to put the world on notice. So I'm down for the cause.
All right. So when you went on your official visit, what were some of the things you saw that you liked about the program?
Just how all the players are bought in. You know, it's rare that you go places and, you know, everyone's kind of on the same page. You know, a lot of the players got the same goal. They all feel the same things. Along with the coaches, you know, I build a relationship with the coaches over the phone. You know, weeks prior to me visiting. So, you know, only thing I really had to do was put a face with a lot of the names there, meeting them in person, you know, shaking hands, looking them in the eyes. But to really get to meet the players and, you know, see how they feel about the program and the direction it's going. That was big for me.
All right, one player that I always see tweeting at you is Kenny Logan. Tell me about you and Kenny Logan.
Oh, yeah, me and Kenny grew up in the same area. We've been knowing each other for a while. So, you know, he's been primary recruiter number one for me. So, you know, building that, having that relationship with him, definitely going to be big, played a big part in me coming there too.
All right, so I want to go back. You said you had a chance. You met the coaches a lot over the phone, and then you finally got to go on your visit. Talk about the coaches, Coach Leipold, Coach Simpson, and what other coaches were involved. Just tell me what the vibe was you got from the staff.
Yeah, the coaches, they you know, they come from winning prior to the schools they were at before, and it's not hard to see why. Coach Leipold, you know, he does things by his way, and his way works. So, you know, I kind of believe everybody kind of follows that. You know, just him being a great leader, setting that role for everybody, along with, you know, the assistant coaches, they all, you know, really cohesive. They work together well. Coach Simpson, you know, he's a real great coach. Got to build a great relationship with him over this time. So it's been good. Primarily them two, speaking with Coach Iannello and, you know, Coach Aligo, you know, with the scouting and everything. It's a great group of coaches, and I feel like it's going to be a great group of people to, you know, mold me.
All right, so tell me and tell the Kansas fans, what can they expect? What kind of player can Eric Gilliard bring to the Jayhawks?
Physical. Physical is the name of the game. That's the name of my game. You know, just whenever you see me out there, just know I'm giving 110%, and I'm going to be physical.
Something I wanted to ask you about. I saw that you were, I believe it was three straight years, you were all AAC academics. Just how important is academics to you?
Very important. Academics has always been one of my strong suits and something that I took very highly. I wouldn't say it's easy, but just, you know, being brought up that way and, you know, just always focusing on academics has kind of been something that my parents and my support system has kind of stressed to me. So it's kind of come second nature now.
And then really my last question for you is, how does this all feel for you to have a home, have it all kind of come to an end, and now know your future?
It feels great knowing that I'm going to be in a great program and that the, you know, all the phone calls and everything is kind of open now. So I'm kind of settling in. I'll be graduating on Friday, so it's kind of a relief now.
Yeah, Eric, hey, congratulations on your commitment to Kansas, and we definitely look forward to covering you over these next couple years.
Thank you.
Hey, Eric, I won't put this on there, but I want to add this in the story. I know there was a lot of schools recruiting you. Can you name maybe 5, 6, 7 schools that reached out to you and you know, showed you interest?
Yes, Michigan State, Arizona, ECU, Bowling Green, of course here, and there's another school that was going to be pretty tough. SMU.
Yes, sir. Eric, man, thank you very much. I'll be tuning into your Instagram. Thank you very much. I look for me and you would definitely be talking again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right, Kirby. We're starting to see the full effects of just what the transfer portal is going to do to college football, and you know, and the impact it could have on the rebuild that Lance Leipold and his staff are engaged in here in Lawrence. Tell us what we can expect from here on, and how much do you think it's changed recruiting as a guy that's followed it for a couple decades now?
Well, Randy, I asked Leipold that today, and you know, you could tell they know they're in for the long haul. He even kind of joked that, you know, he wishes that the NCAA, if they go back and look at it, you know, they'll start thinking about times with families, and you know, coaches need a little downtime here and there. But man, this transfer portal, they're not going to have anything. And Randy, this is how I look at it. I break this down into four phases. Now, you know, back in the day, remember we just had one signing day. I mean, what was that? 5 years ago, maybe? I can't remember how long ago it was. There was just one signing day.
Life was so simple then, John.
Well, and hey, everything led up to this one day. Well, then you got the early signing day. Okay. Well, this is how I look at it right now. I look at it as, for KU, I look at it as four phases. Phase one was today. Okay. The early signing day in January. then you're going to have another one, and it's going to be around January 20th, sometime in there. And that's when all the guys who are coming in the portal that are mid-year guys, they're going to come in, they're going to enroll, they're going to be on campus, and then they are officially Jayhawks. They can't sign anything that binds them to the university. Now, they can sign a financial aid agreement. You know, there were some colleges around the country today who announced their portal guys, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and this is interesting, and this might have happened to some guys on KU staff before. If you sign someone to a financial aid agreement and you bring them or you announce them to your signing, you publicly announce them, and they end up backing out, which they can do, and going somewhere else, you lose that scholarship. You lose the initial. Okay?
Whoa.
Yes. So I don't think you're going to see KU. Actually, I don't think it's smart. I remember there was a kid I think David Beatty recruited named Pierce Slater. The kid came in, he signed his financial aid agreement. I think they might have even announced him, and he left. I think he ended up going to San Diego State or something. I can't remember where he went. But anyways, so you know what? Hey, just let the kids come in, let them go to class, and then announce them after you've locked them in and they've attended a class. So that's January 20th. That's phase two. Then you have phase three, which is going to be the original signing date, which is the first Wednesday in February. All right. So if there's any late high school guys the staff picks up on, any junior college guys, that's when they'll sign. And then phase four, and this is the circus. Okay. Kansas is going to have some scholarships left over. I'm thinking maybe 10, say. So right now, 14 is the magic number. You had five signed today. You've got six total committed, okay, if you count Davis out of Texas, the corner, depending on what he does. So that takes you 5, 6, 11. So that takes you to three. That gives you three. And then I think they're going to pick up seven with the new NCAA rule based on kids transferring, which is probably going to leave them 10 spots. All right. Now, This is where it's going to get crazy. So players have to announce where they're going if they're going to enter the portal by May 1st, if they want to be eligible to play next year. All right, so here's what this is going to do, Randy. And I'm telling you, a lot of people haven't thought this through, but I have on this. This is going to be interesting. The period goes dead, okay? After the February signing period, it goes into a dead period. I want to say till maybe the end of February. And then in March, it picks back up and it opens up. You are going to see a new recruiting season like you've never seen, March through like June, okay? Because now all the kids who are still in the portal, and you're going to see a bunch of kids enter the portal after their spring seasons, okay? There's going to be
the guys that figure out they're not playing are going to be on the move now.
Absolutely. There's going to be a defensive end. He's going to find out he's number two on the depth chart, and he's probably going to be a good player. He's going to go to the portal. There's going to be the quarterback who realizes he's not going to win the starting job. He's going to go to the portal. We're going to have another round of this, and I expect KU to have scholarships available. And I'm telling you, we're going to be sitting here in spring football, and we're going to be talking about official visitors coming in during spring football. So I tell you, it's four phases, and this thing is long from over. I mean, buckle in. If you like following recruiting, I'm telling you, it's not going to stop, you know, in February when it used to.
This is, as somebody that, the reason we do this is because we love, I mean, it's one of the most unique processes anywhere in sports, or really anywhere in life, the college football recruiting process. It's odd, it's unusual, and it's really interesting. And for people like you and I, this is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
It's gotten a lot more odd and a lot more interesting with this portal. And you know what, Randy, here's what they're going to do. I guarantee you this. They're going to come back and change this stuff, okay?
Because
it's gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of control. And this is like the trial run, and now they're going to start making notes, and they're going to start going, okay, we've got to make adjustments. I think they're going to push the period back. I think they'll take this early signing period. Now, JUCO's still got to have it, okay? But I think they're going to move it back, because now you got people firing their coaches mid-season so they can try to get a coach to cram in 2 weeks of recruiting, and you got coaches who are getting fired, they're taking new jobs, and they only have 10 days to go out and recruit, and it's an absolute nightmare. So there are definitely going to be changes to this whole calendar.
Now, we talk about changes, and there are literally so many, it's almost impossible to keep up with it. I mean, I know you and I both keep getting alerts from the Rivals Transfer Portal Twitter account every time somebody enters the portal, and my phone almost went dead today from the people jumping in the portal. You know, what if everything stays the same, John, for once? And humor me here. I know we're literally going pie in the sky here, but what if everything stays the same and all the guys that are committed to the Jayhawks right now, they do end up in Lawrence? This entire class between the high school kids, the transfer kids, the portal kids, the JUCO kids, anybody that's out there through this unfettered free agency, they all make it to Lawrence. What do you think about the impact this crew could have on the program as it stands right now, as we get ready for really what is going to be Leipold's first full calendar year in Lawrence?
Yeah, you know, Randy, I said from the beginning that this is going to be a class made up of high school, junior college kids, and portal kids, all right? They came in too late to go out and sign a bunch of high school kids. They didn't have a chance to build relationships with them, and with the young roster, it made sense to go out and find guys in the portal who can come in and help fast. So this has played out almost exactly how I said it would and felt it would from the beginning, with the exception of probably minus a few junior college players. I know there was a couple guys they missed on there late that they wanted to get, but this is really in line with where I thought it would be. I think there is some quality coming in. I like some of these high school guys, but man, I like some of these transfers a lot. I think these guys are going to be instant impact guys. I think they're going to have, you know, they're going to have an effect on the program right away. They're going to be in. They're going to get to start working out with Gildersleeve. They're going to get a chance to get in and fit in with the chemistry. They're going to go through spring football. I like the makeup of the variety of guys that are on this list right now. I like – now, I want to say this. I still think they're going to need to find – they'll look for some O-linemen. They're going to have to find a DN, I think. They went after Nadame Tucker, you know, out of Hutch. They didn't get him. But I think they're going to have to find somebody that can come in and fill those Kyron Johnson shoes, and somebody who can get after them. So I like this staff. I like the way they recruit. They are – I've said this on the message board, Randy. These guys are organized, and they are detailed. I have known and followed every staff at KU since 1998. I have personally got to know them all. I know the intricacies of how they've all worked. And I'm telling you right now, this staff – and the way they have this thing lined out. Now, none of those staffs in the past at KU, none of them have ever had the challenges of what it's like dealing with the transfer portal and all this stuff right now. Hey, Randy, it's not only who are you going to get, it's holding on to who you got, right?
Oh, yeah. It's who you're going to get and who can you keep.
Right. I mean, so none of the staffs, it's almost unfair to compare them, but anybody in the past has never gone through what these guys are. But man, what they've done has been pretty impressive, especially still coming off a two-win season, although it's a different two-win season because there's momentum. Leipold talked about it today when they went down to Texas and talked to high school coaches. There were high school coaches in Texas saying, "Coach, we watched you play. We watched you, you know, we watched you beat Texas. Hey, we watched you take TCU to the final play of the game on the road." So people are starting to understand that there's some changes going on with the KU football program.
That does it for a National Signing Day edition of the Inside Slant podcast. You heard from our man John Kirby. We literally went through every known addition to the Kansas Jayhawks program that's been brought in and signed by Lance Leipold and his staff. We talked about the potential impact that we could be seeing over the next several months. We dared to dream what it would be like if everybody makes it in and just where we could see this program going over the next 12 months. For my man, John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawksSlant.com. Remember, if you're a Kansas football fan and you're hearing all this amazing information from the premier Kansas football insider in the game, and you're saying to yourself, how can I get more? There is no better time than now to go subscribe to Jayhawkslant.com, the number one Kansas fan site on the internet. Best information you're going to find anywhere. It's right here with us, with me, with John, with Shea Wildebor. The best coverage in the game of Kansas football and Kansas men's basketball. It's all right there for you. And there's no better gift for the Kansas fan in your life than an annual subscription to the KU fan site on the Rivals Network, Jayhawk Slant. Thanks again for listening to us. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Happy National Signing Day. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.